We're ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
ESPN Radio, I'm Stevie J. Mondays and Fridays, we're blessed with great wisdom out of the radio. Brother Johnny in New Orleans this morning. Johnny!
Hey, Stevie J. Good morning.
Mike Ditka, Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. Mike, how are you?
Very good.
All right, we begin with tragedy in Kansas City.
Authorities did not release a possible motive in the morning suicide while the community tries to understand what happened. The Kansas City Chiefs played their scheduled Sunday game, winning against the Carolina Panthers. Some fans thought the game should have been canceled.
They probably should have canceled it. Yeah, out of respect, you know, and reschedule it later on in the season or something.
Jovan Belcher took his own life on Saturday in front of head coach Romeo Crennel, who was back on the sidelines Sunday. Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
He shoots his girlfriend, leaves their two-month-old daughter with no parents, kills himself in front of his coach. Mike, what is your take on all this?
Well, you know, the individual that made the statement, they should have canceled out of respect. Respect for who? Respect for who? The individual that did it? Are we going to respect him? We're going to respect the wife, the girl he killed, yes. The three-month-old child, yes. But, I mean, respect for who? I mean, I'm not sure I understand people sometimes.
I'll tell you, Mike, it's just one of the worst things. I can't relate to that, Steve, so I don't ever have a whole lot of comment other than bad about someone getting to that point where they would do something irreversible that's never got any real good ending to that story.
No, if you want to take your life, that's something. It's wrong. It's sick. It means you want to give up on life. But don't make somebody else give up their life for your sickness or whatever it is. I mean, and I really feel that way. So I have no respect for the individual, and therefore I have no remorse for him, but I certainly do for the young lady.
Do you think it's going to ever boil down to what? Injuries, painkillers, alcohol, which I know everything will be studied and investigated, but will this be tied to NFL and some of the injuries, or is this just a sick individual?
Well, I think this came from a domestic problem. I really do. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I would only assume that, no, it had nothing to do with any medication or anything else that anybody was taking or doing. I would say one thing about head injuries. Now, when you get enough head injuries, whether you're in the NFL or you, whatever you're doing, a boxer or whatever, you're going to probably do some things that aren't rational.
Yeah. All right. We move to the fiscal cliff yesterday on the talkers.
When he got a look at President Obama's plan, House Speaker John Boehner says he was
flabbergasted. I looked at him and said, you can't be serious.
The plan being $1.6 trillion in higher taxes over the next decade, $600 billion for spending cuts, and $200 billion in new spending, mostly for infrastructure and unemployment benefits.
Those are very important things, and they're very good things, and we can afford those. They have very modest costs, and we propose how to pay for them.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and Speaker Boehner both on Fox News Sunday. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
Johnny?
Well, come on. Okay, so first of all, let's just talk about the discussion about $1.6 trillion in cuts and $600 billion. No, it's $1.6 trillion in new taxes, $600 billion in cuts. But, Steve, when did they switch to a 10-year horizon talking about cuts?
Yeah.
Every year we spend $1 to $1.5 trillion more than we're getting. And now they're talking in terms of how many we're going to cut in the next 10 years. Because what we're talking about cutting, we're talking about cutting about $100 billion. No. In the $600 billion, I'm getting it backwards, Stevie, but if you're talking about raising $100 billion and you're talking about cutting about $60 billion, you're not doing anything. Nothing. All we're doing is continuing the track we're on and see what happens, which is might be what we're going to do. But I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Well, you know, and John, you're right. You know, you're an economist. I know. I don't understand a lot of it, but here's the one thing I know. If you're a leader, and you don't know, then you got to surround yourself with people who do know. And you can't surround yourself with people who are yes people. And what this president has done is exactly that. Now, this is not rational, some of the decisions he's making. And I think it's basically just a party thing, Democrat, Republican, instead of a country thing. What's best for the country long term? After 4 years, he'll be long gone. I don't know what he'll be doing, but he'll be doing something else. But this country's going to be going down a reckless road now. If we go over this cliff, this is going to haunt this country for the next 20 years.
Well, and so is not doing anything. So what? But I see, Stevie, that they're apparently it's a kind of a deliberate kind of pick a fight. We're not going to do anything because he also wanted to have the power to raise the debt ceiling without Congress. And that's just like saying we're not going to talk about anything. And I don't think that's a good strategy, Mike, because the plan might be to blame the Republicans for whatever happens and then take over the House. I don't think that'll happen. So I don't think the political strategy will work.
It's like a child, you know. Either they get it that way or they whine or they complain or they're not going to give it anyway. They're not going to give in. It's got to be my way. And that's silly. That's not what this is all about. That's not what this country was founded on. That's not our principles. Our principles are, you can have a side. You can have a policy. But we got to do what's best for everybody, not the middle class, the lower class, the upper class. You know, everybody, we're all part of this, you know. If there was no upper class, who the heck would take care of all these entitlements? Where would the money come from?
Well, I don't think anybody...
We've got to pay attention.
I don't know how many people understand how it actually works. That's a problem. But, Steve,
I don't think, Steve,
that the president realizes that if he tries his blame the Republican game, he's not going to get Congress. He barely won the presidency by overrepresenting the high population centers. Don't forget, no matter what percent votes in Cook County, downstate Illinois still gets to pick their own congressman. And I don't think they're going to be able to put this on the Republican. I think it's too obvious, he's not going to get there. So.
I don't know. With guys like Howard Dean coming out and saying he hopes it goes over the fiscal cliff because of the massive cuts to military and other things, they would raise a lot of money. Everybody would be in for quite a bit of money and on the hook for it. I don't know if the president truly says, I've got a mandate, or he truly is a Howard Dean guy and wants to go over the edge.
Well, he's not backing down. I'm just saying it right here. You know, but he has no plan to go forward. So, you know, backing down, you know, all he's doing is keeping one position. And I understand the other side wants their position, but somewhere you got to say, guys, there's got to be a happy medium here. We got to be able to do this, raise taxes to a certain point, cut spending to a certain point. Something's got to happen you can do intelligently if we have any intelligent people in Washington.
Well, maybe that is going to happen, Steve. Maybe they're going to cut massive amounts of military and, I think, entitlements and raise taxes. Maybe the fiscal cliff might be our best case scenario right now.
As far as actually doing something toward this number, right? I mean, that
right.
Might,
and then if that happens, let me tell you what they'll be doing. They'll be scrambling to come up with some kind of plan because they're going to be in serious the hot box at that point because everybody's going to be hot.
Now, here's a thought. Closed-door negotiations obviously haven't yielded much so far. Anti-tax activist Grover Norquist says, put him on television. Would people watch this on C-SPAN if they were on television?
Well, they would, but they talked about that before. They're not going to do that. Are you crazy? I mean, these people are politicians. That's the whole problem.
That's right.
So they're not going to show all their cards.
All right, this segment of Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by Big Grove Tavern, 742 ESPN, 93.5, 95.3. And so it's set, ladies and gentlemen.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. They'll try to win their first national championship since 1988. Fourth time the Irish have been in a BCS Bowl. First time they've been in a title game. They'll face Alabama, the Crimson Tide, trying to establish a dynasty by winning its third BCS title in the last 4 years. Alabama claims 14 national titles. Notre Dame claims 11 and a handful of other ones as well that weren't consensus titles. Two giants of the sport meet January 7th.
All right, Mike, how do you see that thing?
Well, you know, I don't know that I think anything can happen in a football game. I watched Pittsburgh and Baltimore yesterday, and I didn't think Pittsburgh had a chance to win, and they won. So Notre Dame, I think, is an outstanding football team. I love what they've done down there, a great defense. I don't know that they can stop the running game of Alabama, but I tell you what, I'll be interested to watch the football game. I think that's what makes it so exciting. I mean, I do believe these are the two teams that should play, and we'll see what happens.
I'll tell you, I thought Georgia was good, Mike. They really played a good game.
They could have won the game just as easy. I watched the whole thing. You know, and they're kind of left outside.
to tell you what, my opinion is that Notre Dame's a good team, Alabama's a good. If God wants Notre Dame to win, they're going to win. But if he doesn't, I think it's going to be a long day for Notre Dame.
All right.
What Mike says about running football, how are you going to tackle those guys? And I don't think Notre Dame's seen anything.
And that line is good.
Yeah, they're really good. No, the BCS story, as far as I'm concerned, is out of DeKalb, Illinois, where Northern Illinois University made a BCS game. They'll be in the orange against Florida State. Northern Illinois University, the Huskies.
Well, I'll tell you something. We got a couple of Unity guys going up there next year. So,
wow, that's so
good.
Cool.
Job for Unity High School football program. And that's quite an achievement, Mike.
Yeah, the coach, they went and the coach bolts before. I mean, he takes the other job before. I mean, I, you know, it's kind of appalling to me that he took a better job. I understand he went to North Carolina State. I don't know, although the North Carolina State's a better job. But Northern Illinois, this is such a feather in their cap. I mean, this is such a great thing for their program, a MAC team. And listen, they didn't make the rules. They're just playing by them. You know, it says if you have this and that and you're ranked 16th or better, you're in. It doesn't matter that they're Northern Illinois or they could have been Kent State or somebody else. It just, they didn't make the rules. The NCAA made the rules. So, I mean, they're in, so who are they going to apologize to?
Well, I think they'll play a good game, Stevie. And now, Mike, is that guy going to coach him or does he just leave?
Oh, no, he's not coaching. The offensive coordinator has now become the head coach.
Wow.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He bowled.
Yeah. So how about that assistant that gets to coach in a BCS game?
Well, that's good. I don't like it either, Steve. I'm with Mike. It's just, I don't know. You're on a team, and then you just leave a team, whether successful or unsuccessful, before you're done with the commitment. And just too bad. And I certainly don't think it teaches amateur sports. That is a joke.
No.
So.
No. But they've elevated the assistant coach to head coach, and he's hired as their new head coach.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, okay.
All right. Yeah, and Northern tends to be a springboard for a lot of guys. Jerry Kills at Minnesota, they're in a bowl game. You have this guy going to North Carolina State. Now the new guy gets a shot, but what a program they got going into DeKalb. 7:46 around the NFL. Is the Mark Sanchez era winding down in New York, Mike?
Well, I think you got to quit making excuses for him. You know, there's no production there. I mean, bad decision-making. I know it's not a great football team on the offensive side of the ball, but still, you know, he's the quarterback. He's got to make things happen. When you look around the league at other teams, the Russell Wilsons and the other kids that are playing so well as rookies, Andrew Luck and the kid down RG3 and Tannehill, you got to wonder, well, listen, what's so good about Mark Sanchez? Nothing.
Well, I'm worried about the Drew Brees era. Not really, but man, he's got to settle down. You know, you go through ups and downs in this league, and there's a certain point, a certain number of downs, you're out.
Yeah. How bad
John, John, here's the thing about Brees, though. You know, when he's trying to do too much right now. You know, they get behind, and, you know, it makes you change what you want to do. They have the ability to run the football, but when you get behind in games, sometimes you try to play catch-up and do these things. You're trying to outdo the guy on the other side, and this becomes a problem for him. He's a great football player.
Oh, no question. And he's trying to throw it too quick, too, because
absolutely, there's
he didn't
no question
have any time.
Yeah. How bad a loss was the Bears? Russell Wilson, amazing kid for Seattle. But, boy, Bears and Soldier Field probably shouldn't lose to Seattle.
Well, listen, they lost, though, because, they, you know, Seattle kind of beat that defense up pretty good. You know, they ran it well enough, and they certainly passed it well. And I say, you know, the fact that he's such a great threat, you know, these defensive ends, you know, today, I don't get it. They don't understand containment. They don't understand keeping a guy in the pocket, forcing rushing from the outside in. Everybody's going for the sack. He spins out to the outside. He makes the first down or throws the ball on the move. And I tell you what, he's very good at it. I mean, I think when I watch defense, I'm not sure they're coaching. I don't know what the heck they're coaching because, you know, we were always taught there's a lot of things. You got to force. You got to contain on the other side. You got to force on the strong side, contain. And then you got to tackle. And I don't see any of it right now. There's no idea where they're forcing from the outside in. You don't know how to use the sideline. The tackling is horrible. I mean, it's a joke to watch some of these guys try to tackle.
Well, I'll tell you, it hurt me, Stevie, because as a Saints fan, you have to hope your team wins the rest of their games. And if we do, we'd be 9-7. And we actually are playing Tampa, the Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Giants, which are three out of the other four teams in it.
Yeah.
But Seattle's the fourth team.
Oh.
So I wouldn't have minded if the Bears would have taken those guys. But don't you think Pete Carroll's doing a good job, Mike?
That's great job. He's done a great job. I think, first of all, the great job is the fact that you put Russell Wilson out there. I think he's done a great job. And, you know, their defense, and at home now, they got three of their last four games at home.
Whoa.
And they really are a good football team at home. So, you know, if they get in, they're going to be a pain in the butt for anybody they play.
How about that Charlie Batch story at Pittsburgh? 15-year NFL guy pulled out of nowhere to take the place of Roethlisberger. And are they going to Baltimore and win?
Well, you know, it was a shame because on our show on Sunday, we absolutely – We to a degree destroyed him, and which was silly. I mean, you know, he can't throw the ball, he has no arm set, this and that, and that's all crap. You know, the kid is a quality individual. I thought the job Pittsburgh did, the coaching job they did, his play. I mean, you got to respect that because I said the only chance they would have to win is if they resurrected the old steel curtain in the 70s. Well, that defense actually played pretty daggone good. I mean, and you're telling me now that Baltimore's got this great offense and Flacco, these receivers, and the running game. They shut it down. They really shut it down. So you got to take your hat off to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the job they did. I mean, it was a great job. And they went out. They went down there and kicked their butt. That's what they went right into Baltimore and kicked Baltimore's butt.
Boy, and that's amazing. But it is a serious rivalry. So in those types of rivalries, you know, anything can happen, but I'm surprised at that, too. Although I have seen Charlie Batch play some pretty good games through the years.
Yeah, but everybody wants to kill the kid, you know. You understand, first of all, he's not Ben Roethlisberger. He can't be. He hasn't been playing. He didn't have any reps. All of a sudden, he gets into two games. They're not so great. All of a sudden, we got to get rid of this. Well, this game he played outstanding football.
Amazing. I just can't believe a guy comes into Baltimore with as few reps as he had and leads them to victory. All right, around the league, anything else besides, wow, Andrew Luck, Indianapolis, what?
He's good. I mean, what they did was pretty special. I mean, of course, Detroit's another one of those teams that find a way to lose. San Diego's another one of those teams that find, if you don't know how to win, if you have no mental toughness, you're going to lose. I mean, what happened in Detroit is it's incredible. But, you know, you got to give Luck, RG3, Tannehill, Wilson, these rookie quarterbacks have been outstanding. I mean, they've done a great job. And, hey, who thought, you know, you get rid of Manning, goes to Denver, and what a great job they've done and what he's done. And yet, you know, you got your team of 8-4. The Indianapolis coach, who really had a post-sale, fire sale, they got rid of everybody. They were going to save money. You know, they weren't going to spend so much money. Now they got all these guys stepping up and playing. They got receivers playing very well that I've never heard of.
I'll tell you, it's amazing. I just give coaches credit for that, Mike.
It is. And, you know, and Arians has done a great job stepping in for the coach that's, you know, and there's no question about that. But, you know, you got to look at this as an organizational thing. The players have responded so positively to everything that's gone on. And it's been a little bit tough, but, you know, new coach, assistant coach taking over for the head coach who's sick. You know, they responded well.
And I think that's where coaching is. I saw that with your teams. I saw the players that always played. It just didn't matter, Steve. They want to play for Mike Ditka. That's 90% of it. And I tell you, but you got to find the guys that want to play football to start with. That's the other part of it that Mike was always so good at. But you just see it in the games and in the performance. And the difference, the real difference in the athletic ability, there's a certain level of stars. But generally, the difference in athletic ability isn't that much. And you can almost fight your way through it and win, even if you're not quite as good as the other guy, if you really have that heart. And I think that's what a good coach does, is brings that out in you. And we saw that in your teams, Mike, that's for sure.
Well, I know one thing. A little bit of success breeds confidence. And right now, this team in Indianapolis is getting a little more confident. And it's like the team in Seattle. If Seattle gets in this thing, guys, be careful.
Hmm.
I mean, be careful because they can play now. They got enough pieces in the puzzle on defense, running game, and everything to get the job done.
I tell you what, Andy Reid's not going to make it in Philadelphia, is he?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, it was such a ugly football game. I mean, there is no defense at all, and both sides didn't look good, let's face it. I mean, Romo played outstanding in the second half, and they put the points on the board, and they got a win out of it. But the Eagles, and then again, what they do, they come back and they fire another guy, another line coach.
Yeah, the defensive line coach this morning.
I have no idea what the hell that's got to do with anything. Yeah. What is that, the remedy? We fire enough coaches, it'll get better? I mean, I'm not sure I understand any of that.
How long has he been there, Mike? He's been coaching for 8 years. That's a record.
I think he's like 15 or something. Longest tenured guy right now in the NFL is Andy Reid in Philadelphia.
14 years, yeah. He's been there 14 years. And listen, and Andy's a great guy, and he's had a great record. But now, right now, I think the bombs are falling, and people are running out the exit door. And I'm not sure that everybody's on the same page. But, I mean, I can't understand getting rid of the coaches during the season. It doesn't accomplish anything. I don't know. What is it, insubordination? Are they jumping off the ship? I don't know what's happened. But if that's what it is, I can understand it. But other than that, I don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah. It's not going to help the game, I don't think.
Not going to help the team either or the organization.
Gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Mike, we'll watch you tonight, Monday Night Football. You'll be on ESPN. How you feeling? Good?
I feel okay, guys. Thank you very much. I feel good.
All right, and your mom's doing okay? Got to see her Saturday.
Yeah, we went by on Friday, saw mom and all of my brothers and sisters there. We had a big family picture and took all the people at about 40 of the people at the nursing home for lunch at the restaurant in Pittsburgh. Had a great time.
That's everyone. Awesome.
That sounds great. Awesome. Hey, Mike, who is playing on Monday Night Football?
Tonight?
Yes. Tonight.
Giants and Redskins.
Oh, that ought to be a dandy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much, Coach. We'll talk to you, Johnny. Thank you, guys.
All right, Mike. All thanks. Right, we'll
Take
talk
care.
To you soon.
Talk to you soon. Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, Mondays and Fridays, ESPN 93.5, 95.3. No stop it moment this morning. Well, let's see again on Friday to see if Coach says stop it. It's been a bit.
Yep.
Since he said it. I know it's on his answer machine when I call him and don't get him.
Okay.
This is the Coach. Stop it. This is the Coach. Stop. It's funny. Should play that on here sometime.
All right.
ESPN 93.5, 95.3, Fox News.